All right, so welcome everybody to our first episode here of Caffeinated Tech, and I'm here with Mr. Danny Quiroz, who is the owner of Reserva Coffee Roasters Coffee Shop here in McAllen in the Palms Crossing area, and he'll give you some more information about that. But today all we're going to do is we're going to be discussing technology, and we're going to be discussing technology in roasting. So again, we have a very great guest here who's very knowledgeable on coffee and tech. So let me give you a moment to introduce yourself, Danny.
Hello everyone. My name is Danny Quiroz. I'm one of the owners of Reserva Coffee Roasters. The other owner is my wife. And really glad to be here with Alfonso on this first episode.
All right, sounds good. Now, Danny, just give us a little brief background of your just tech background. I mean, you can start when you were a kiddo or to most recent.
Yeah, actually, so tech background goes back to when I was a kid. Our first computer was a Commodore 64, and we just played games on it, and we used floppy disks, so we'd pop the floppy disk, 5 1/4 floppy disk, play games, and it was really fun, and I think my parents saw that I had an interest in computers, so for one of my birthdays, we went over to, like, this was called McDuff's, it was like an electronics store back in the day, and they bought me a computer. And it was a 486 processor, SX. It didn't have like the math coprocessor. It was just like this like computer that my parents could afford at the time. And so I got it, and you know, I started looking at it, and I was using it, and I told my dad, I'm like, "Dad, I need a modem." And he didn't know what a modem was. Like, I don't know how I figured out what a modem was. I was like, "I need a modem." I think it was like 94. And so he drove me over to buy a modem and connected to the internet. And so I was able to install like a CD-ROM drive in the computer. So like I really got hands-on with it because I was just a hands-on type of kid. I like to tear stuff apart and then hide it because I couldn't put it back together. But at that age, when I got my computer, like I was able to tear it apart and then figure out how to put it back together. So I just fell in love with all the tech inside of the computer. So I'd say like I was like a hardware guy through and through. Mm-hmm. Even though later on, I got into a little bit of software. But yeah, so tech, would build, computers for my friends, and things like that. And, you know, just growing up and would spend a lot of time, on the computer with, for example, like Photoshop and different CorelDRAW, different programs, and just learning. And it was just learning hours on the computer, just fiddling around and doing nothing other than just learning, but really like playing jokes on my friends, like taking pictures and putting their heads on them and then sending them to them and things like that. Like and so that's a lot of what I would do until I was, 19. I got my first job actually, before that, right out of high school, I got a job at Casablanca Clothing, which is like a clothing retailer, and I would sell clothes, but I really wanted to be by the computer. Like, I would, like, migrate to the computer, and I really wanted to use it, but I didn't get to, so I left that job, and I went to an insurance agency where my aunt worked, and so they told me I had to do some data processing, so they said it was, like, 3 weeks of work. I got it done, like, in 3 days. I just shut the door, I did a bunch of data entry, and got it done. And then, so, they didn't want to, like, let me go, so, like, they were like, "Well, help everybody with their computers." So, I started helping everyone with their computer, like, figuring out, like, you know, the problems that they were having, making their job easier, giving them shortcuts, adding stuff to their taskbar, backing up the computers. And then, like, when I had spare time, I would go play around with the server. And so, one time I played around with the server a little too much and I crashed the thing. So I crashed this insurance agency for a couple of days and I felt really bad about it. they had to actually hire like somebody to come in and fix it. But that was really bad. I was just, but I was having fun and you know, I wasn't trying to crash computers. It just happened, and cool. That's part of the learning process. And
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So Danny, now you gave us a little brief background of how a hands-on tech guy you are, and in growing up, all the tech that you used, and now I know you work for a company here locally, you know, still using tech, maybe in a different aspect, and now you have this coffee shop, and you told me about the tech that is here also. So share with me a little bit about that. How was that transition going from, you know, to small business, now working for a company, and now owning your own business, and the type of technology that is involved?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, technology is everywhere, so I had a job in technology where I was a desk site support engineer. I moved up to an IT project manager, and then I did that until I decided to go into a different field, human resources. But even in human resources, I went in right away and I was able to use my web application development skills to create performance review websites, material handling websites that have processed millions of transactions. So really proud of that. The legacy that I created, you know, I was really proud of, because I created applications that lasted years and that the company was able to get a ton of value out of. So super proud about that. And then, you know, once you have your hands in tech, I mean, it just, even though the specific tech does leave you if you don't use it a whole lot, just the general principles of understanding how to use technology, how to discover new features in technology and that sort of thing, had always served me well. So when I went into coffee roasting, interestingly enough, coffee roasting, there's very little to do with tech and coffee roasting. The reason why is because coffee as it's brewed and as we drink it today is a 600-year-old beverage. And so obviously there was, you know, it predates computers and tech. So coffee roasting is very, very sensory oriented, in that you're using your vision to look at the color of the coffee as it's roasting. You're using your sense of smell to smell the different milestones when the coffee is roasting. It smells initially kind of like, interestingly enough, like wet grass, then like smells like bread that's baking, and it just progresses as different reactions and the sugars caramelize and that sort of thing. It smells differently, and so you're using your sense of smell and your visual cues, and interestingly enough as well, your sense of your you know, hearing the coffee, because there's moisture that's trapped inside of the coffee, and as that moisture builds into pressure, it eventually cracks. So it's very sensory oriented. You use a lot of your senses. Now, tech obviously has now integrated itself into coffee roasting, in that you can log your roasts. Now, there are roasters that can actually control the roaster. But a happy medium, I believe, is still using your sensory milestones when you're roasting coffee and logging your roast. And the reason you want to log your roast is so that you can create a consistent roast every single time. And so when you find the perfect roast for a coffee, you've logged it. And so all of the points on the graph tell you exactly where that coffee needs to be the next time you roast it, so that the outcome can be exactly the same. And that is the value of using tech in coffee roasting. Obviously, you know, you're hooking up a roaster via USB to thermocouples that are measuring the temperature, measuring.
What about that one device you told me about that you put the drop on there?
Right, right. In brewing coffee, you can use a refractometer to measure the total dissolved solids in the coffee, to ensure that your coffee has enough strength, to make sure that you understand how many total dissolved solids are in that cup of coffee, so that you can consistently brew that coffee, so that you can, it's essentially about the strength, right? Yeah. Lower TDS is going to give you a weaker cup of coffee, a higher TDS, stronger cup of coffee. And so you figure out what you want to do and offer your customers, and then you can measure it at all times. And I can tell you, like, we've taken that refractometer to our customers here locally in McAllen that, for example, set up a coffee service in their own business, and we can go and reproduce the set of our coffee in their business because they have the right equipment and they're buying our coffee, and we can measure their TDS and make sure that they're producing the strength that we're producing here in the shop. And so that's called a refractometer, and it gives you data.
Now, there are many coffee purists out there that are probably listening to this. They're saying, like, oh, my goodness, tech, like, you know, and just like you're saying, it's a 600-year-old process of just taking these beans and using all your senses. And, you know, just in anything, and in myself, in the field that I'm in, there are many people that are hesitant to use technology, even though it's used as a tool to enhance maybe the process they're doing, maybe actually opening them up to a whole different world. What would you suggest to some of those coffee purists, coffee enthusiasts out there that may be listening and say, oh man, that's just a bunch of garbage bringing technology in here? What are some benefits? What are some great stories that you've seen or you've heard? Obviously, I mean, I've seen the success of your coffee shop since it once opened, and I came in here and tasted this coffee, and it was like coffee that I have never tasted here in the Valley, even from chains that are close by. This coffee just blew me away, and you can tell the difference between that chain and this local roasting company. And I think it's a benefit of what you're doing as far as using the technology to being consistent, getting the same taste each and every time, and that'll give you that success. But what are some of the things that you see that have added value to your brand as you're growing?
I would say that, I was the type of person that when I started brewing my coffee one cup at a time at home, I would find that I was very inconsistent in brew. So, like, for me, I'm such a coffee enthusiast that my cup of coffee in the morning kind of sets the tone for my day. And yes. So if I'm on my way to work and my coffee is off, it's just not right, I didn't do a good job, that frustrated me. So the first thing that I implemented was a scale. Mm-hmm. This scale will allow you, even at home, to produce a very consistent cup of coffee, because you're then measuring the amount of coffee that you're putting in and the amount of water that you're putting in to brew. And then that'll give you a consistent cup of coffee every single day. And obviously the pour, how you pour and so on is also going to, but I think the first thing that people can do is use a scale. There's even scales that you can connect via Bluetooth, and you can measure the amount of water using Bluetooth and change different things. And you can, you know, there's timers and different things that you can do. So you don't have to get fancy with it. It can be a regular scale that measures grams. And so if you want to produce a consistent cup of coffee every day and not go through the ups and downs of different cups of coffee, then, use a scale. Obviously a grinder as well, a burr grinder. That one, is essential for producing the best cup of coffee, is grinding your coffee right before you brew it as well. So those are the two things that I would recommend people. And, you don't have to get too fancy with it, but as long as you have a scale and a grinder, you can start producing fantastic cups of coffee every single day.
Now that's personal at home and everything, but now in a bigger scope, you've got hundreds upon hundreds of people that come in here daily. Mm-hmm. You've got your regulars in the mornings, which I see also as well, as I'm a regular here. But, just to keep that consistency, mm-hmm. the type of machines that you have. Tell us a little bit about how you keep those consistent as well with the pours and with everything.
Sure. The machines that we use are Curtis Gold Cup brewers, and they are programmable. So we can program everything from the volume of water that we're putting through the brew basket, everything from the temperature, 199 degrees or 200 degrees or 205 degrees or 212 degrees. We can brew at different temperatures just to accentuate the notes in the coffee. And the time I can saturate the coffee for 30 seconds, pause it for 7 seconds, and then resume the brew, because I'm blooming the coffee, I'm exposing the coffee to this hot water to allow it to outgas the CO2, because CO2 is naturally produced by roasted coffee, and that'll dissipate, and then you rebrew, and then that'll fully extract all the flavor notes from the coffee and produce a beautiful cup of coffee. So the programmability of these machines is unbeatable. You know, using a machine, you're not at the mercy of someone pouring the brewing water, getting distracted, their rate of pour. You know, these machines don't have bad days.
That's awesome.
They produce super consistent cups of coffee because it's a machine, it's programmable, and it can do the same job every day, day in and day out, all day long. And so that's why a machine like these Curtis Gold Cup brewers is going to produce a consistent cup of coffee every single day at a set of a coffee.
Okay, so that's good. So now you're talking about the consistency. Now, you know, and I'm just going to bring in just my tech background, because of course we're talking here at Caffeinated Tech, and with my background in a little bit of programming and now getting into all of this. I mean, we know machines don't have bad days, but, you know, we also have those variables. Like you said, the human variable, you know, some of our errors that we can make. And so just one thing that I just want to throw in there is a machine's not going to do anything you don't tell it to do, that you program it to do. So like you said, the machine will never have a bad day. But sometimes, you know, how about in the roasting process? Have there been times where maybe you and your roast, it was maybe a bad batch, or maybe it was, you know, it wasn't up to the expectation? I'm sure that's happened. Talk to me a little bit about that process, maybe what happened, and, you know, how you may correct those mistakes for the next time so those things don't happen.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you one example. You know, the roaster, it's a commercial roaster, can do up to 12 pounds of coffee at a time. And so one of the things was like measuring airflow. Mm-hmm. And so what I found that I had to do was to produce consistent roasts where I had my damper for my airflow, I put a small metal ruler because I needed to make sure that every time I roasted, I was setting the damper at the exact measurement for that airflow in order for it to be consistent. So that was one of the things, because, you know, if you don't have the right airflow, your flame could go out mid-roast. And yeah, you might have to dump 5-10 pounds of coffee. And that can be expensive. So just trying to mitigate those things, you always have to make sure that you have the proper airflow. And so measuring the airflow is something that roaster didn't particularly have as a guide. I would recommend that to the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. But that was something that I implemented, was measuring the damper closure and the measurement to make sure that we get the right airflow every time.
Sounds good. Well, you know, I think a lot of the things that you go through as well on a daily basis with the roasting and the programming and everything, and, you know, in education and the field that I'm into as well, I mean, we see that with technology ever evolving consistently. You know, this year we have, you know, augmented reality, then that'll be last year's new thing, and then you've got this year's new thing, and then you've got next year's new thing. And so, you know, I think with your company and what you're doing and the roasting, I mean, what is it that you do to stay ahead of the game? Like, you know, there are many other locally owned coffee shops that are just now opening up, and I'm seeing them pop up everywhere. And so what is it that you do? I know in my job, I have to stay ahead. I have professional learning networks that I'm part of, always doing research, always trying to stay ahead of the game to see what it is that we can bring to our educators so they can better enhance themselves and continue to grow. And not only that, but the benefits that it brings to our students. But now taking it outside of the scope of education and now making it relevant to real world scenarios, you as a business owner, as, you know, here, the roaster and everything, What do you do to stay relevant? What do you do to stay ahead of the game and, you know, beat out the other, you know, competitors? What are some things that set you apart?
Well, you know, like, you know, in any field or any trade, you're going to have trade shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we were out in Seattle at the Specialty Coffee Expo looking at new tech and new machines out there that are made for our industry, and just understanding that they're out there. You know, for example, the puck press. So traditionally you manually tamp, which is to put pressure on
the grain
on the ground coffee in the portafilter. And you know, we have a puck press that alleviates the wrist from that repetitive motion, and so which can deteriorate your wrist over time and your elbow. So we implemented an automated solution there, so because, you know, I want my baristas to be able to hold their grandkids when they're old, you know, yeah, and things like that stuff. So I said that was super important to me, is that removing that repetitive motion, mm-hmm, that crushing motion on that joint every single time. We service, you know, hundreds of customers. So looking at new tech, there was, you know, we have one, but like we just bought it like 6 months ago and they already had a new one at the expo. That was like,
yeah,
you're looking at it like, oh my god, this thing, like, and it integrates into the grinder. That was pretty cool, so that was awesome. Seeing new brewers, mm-hmm, brewers that you were telling me about that you had seen a Siphon, and
yeah, the Siphon brewers,
you know, and so different Siphon brewers, different brewers that, you know, claim to extract the coffee better, mm-hmm, and put on a really nice show and kind of are interesting. So I think at the end of the day, you use your palate in order to decide what you're going to, mm-hmm, do, the direction. All the tech can produce all the numbers and the data that they can, but at the end of the day, you have to be guided by your palate. I think that's the most important thing. But all of these devices and all of this data does inform our decisions. Mm-hmm. So make data-driven decisions. That's what we do, and that's what we are. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, when I first started roasting, it was more trying to predict what was going to happen at the end of the roast.
Daddy.
Now,
trying
to predict what was going to happen at the end of the roast. Now, because I have the data, I was able to create certain milestones in the roast that will actually tell me what allow me to predict what will happen at the end of the roast more accurately. And so that has really changed my game a whole lot. I can know, like, 2 minutes into roast development what I'm gonna see at 3:30, and that's priceless for me as a roaster, because that could be the difference between losing 10 pounds or making sure that we produce a great coffee.
That's amazing. So, like you said, one of the things is, like, you see what you have, and then all of a sudden you go to a show and it's like, whoa, like, this is just way better, and so on. And again, in our industry and education too as well, we often run into those things a lot. And, you know, one of the things that's helped me is some great advice that a friend of mine from Arizona told me, who's a former Marine, is he always said, adapt and overcome. So I think with technology, that's something that we have to do oftentimes. I mean, because we you know, what's the word? We may, I guess, just be set on one thing, and then all of a sudden something else comes out, and you still have to have that open mind, that growth mindset. Because I know for you, and especially with the business that I see, I mean, you found a great balance of, like you said, the taking the technology to using it to your advantage to be more consistent. But at the end, you said something, like, very important too. It's the palate that decides. And from what I've noticed here, there's a lot of palates that are really enjoying your coffee. So I thank you for that, and thank you for what you're doing here. And I appreciate you taking the time to do our very first caffeinated tech talk. And if there's anything that you'd like to add, Mr. Quiroz, go ahead and do so. Maybe let us know your location, your hours, and that way more people can come over here and experience a wonderful cup of coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Alfonso. Alfonso is one of our great customers here, and I'm glad to know him. And that's one of the great things about opening a coffee shop is just you get to meet all of these interesting people that come in, and that I cherish. We are located here at Palms Crossing Shopping Center, here on Ware Road and the Expressway 83. It's on the grounds of the Convention Center. We're right off of Ware Road, 3400 Expressway 83, Suite 130. Come out and see us. We're a locally owned company. This was imagined here in the Valley, and we were able to make it happen. So we're super proud of what we've done, and we're super proud of what we think this place can be, bringing in the community. And just the great people that we have in the community, bring them all together and do great things together.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Mr. Quiroz. I appreciate you taking the time to just give us a little brief background on your tech experience and now growing up and being an owner, you know, of a coffee shop and all the technology that is involved. And, you know, we look forward to hearing and seeing great things as technology evolves and see how you can implement maybe some of the new tech just to heighten that that taste, heighten that level of coffee, and just set the bar, you know, maybe for local coffee shops here in the area. And we just thank you. So again, this was our first episode of Caffeinated Tech. So if you'd like to follow us, you can follow us on Instagram at Tech Teacher, T-E-C-H, Teacher 1381. You can go ahead and check out our Instagram feed there. We've got a lot of technology involved. And again, I am an educator that is just trying to just share with students in the community how technology is not just ever present in our education system, but making it relevant to everybody and seeing how tech is in reality all around us, even though we may not think it. So thank you very much, and we'll see you on the next episode.